Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
PM at 5900 East Holmes Road, or call a recruiter to RSVP 847-720-2525. Give US Foods a call at 847-720-2525 or apply online at usfoods.com/careers. That's usfoods.com/careers.
Goodyear tires keep vehicles that are thousands of pounds traveling at high speeds firmly connected to the road for thousands of miles. Now, imagine what it's like having the same performance and quality on your Skechers. Introducing Skechers footwear with Goodyear rubber. We've taken the same high-performance rubber compound in Goodyear tires and fused it into Skechers' high-quality, stylish footwear. Skechers uses Goodyear rubber to enhance our footwear's traction, durability, and stability in almost any weather condition on almost any surface for grip and long-lasting wear like you've never experienced. From high-performance running sneakers to cool sandals to rugged hiking boots to casual kicks and work footwear, Skechers with Goodyear rubber will give you the traction and stability you need to perform your best. Skechers is the leader in comfort technology, with innovations like air-cooled memory foam, arch fit, stretch fit, relaxed fit, and so many more. Because they're Skechers, you know they're going to be comfortable. For comfort, performance, and durability, it's Skechers and Goodyear, where the sneakers meet the road. Find them at Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Memphis is home of the Gary Parrish Show, weekdays from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Station. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yeah, Mountain Little Minnesota, Northern Dash, the Coupe Chevrolet. Ah, Jiminy Crackin' and Doodaddy Giga.
Back in the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington thing.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m.
Well, Chris, what is this upbeat number that we're listening to?
That is Mardi Gras in New Orleans by the late, great Professor Longhair. Some classic New Orleans music to make our guests, the Pelicans, feel at home today.
Who is Professor Longhair?
The greatest New Orleans piano man. You could say Fats Domino, but he's almost a little bit different genre. Fats Domino is like New Orleans rock and roll, whereas Professor Longhair is like the essence of just the sound of New Orleans music, basically.
And when was he?
He died in, I think, 1980. His last album, last studio album, is called Crawfish Fiesta, which is great, which people should search out. That album came out in 1980. And it came out like a couple months, either right before or right after he died. Like, he died right around when that album came out. So, I mean, he recorded, probably started in the 50s, I'm guessing, but 50s up through 1980.
Huh. Professor Longhair.
Yep.
And when you say New Orleans, you know, there's the Preservation Hall, like that sort of. Is that classic New Orleans that we're talking about?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, New Orleans is, you know, the home of jazz more than anything else in American music. And then, but then New Orleans R&B, even music that had like falls into its general genre, like Professor Longhair, I guess, would be in the blues section in a record store or whatever. Right. But like, it doesn't sound like, you know, Bill Street blues. It sounds like New Orleans, right? So New Orleans has a very distinctive style. I mean, and that's true in hip-hop, but that's true in all kinds of stuff. There's a specific New Orleans flavor. There's pretty much everything that comes out of there.
Totally unrelated to any of this. I was reading Bob Mayer's piece about some concert that took place. What was it? It was an Alex Chilton concert, right? Did you ever cover or meet Alex Chilton? He sounds just like a jackass. Was he a jackass?
I never met Alex Shelton. No, I mean, he was no longer
or difficult.
He was no longer Memphis based by the time I was writing. I think he was in New Orleans, actually. That's where he died. He was certainly difficult. I mean, his reputation was as a highly difficult person. Yes.
Yeah. But big star is when you think Alex Shelton, it's the big star and the influence the big star had that is most.
Yeah, I mean, the Box Stop sold more records. I mean, the letter was like a number one hit or whatever. But that was more. I mean, I think Alex Shelton himself may have said that was more mimicry in a way. I mean, that was less his music than Big Star was his music. And Big Star certainly has reverberated more. Big Star has much more influence. It is much more, you know, highly thought of in retrospect than the Box Stops were.
Okay, you big week. You rested up?
No, but I'm going to do my best.
Well, the nice thing is that they're all home except and then Golden State's not. It's on the road, but it's not going to be at night. Like we.
Well, is that good? That it's not. I mean, that means.
Well, there's no late nights. I'm saying we don't have any like less.
Oh, you know about for us?
For us,
like yes. for the players, the Golden State game being an early game is not.
No, that's not good. I'm talking about for us. If you're rested up or not, if you have it in you to get through the week, much less of the players have it in.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather the Sunday game be a night game personally, just because I don't like. I mean, it's the middle of the day on a weekend. There's other stuff I got going on. I don't like sort of setting aside my life for.
Did they say 3 o'clock?
Game.
It's going to be 3 o'clock.
I don't think they've have they said. I don't think they said.
But they said Sunday afternoon.
There's a range in the afternoon.
I see.
The start times from noon to three, and all the games will have start times that fall in that range. But they haven't said specifically. I don't think when that game is.
You have a piece up at the Daily Memphian. I urge people to read it. I have tweeted it out, and as you pointed out. Because the game against Golden State next Sunday will also determine the season series between the two, and therefore the tiebreaker, for it not to be meaningful in terms of who finishes eight and who finishes nine, one team is going to have to be two games ahead of the other. And that is highly unlikely as you look at it, that one team is – I mean, it's hard to pencil in W's and L's here, but – Golden State is going to be playing a New Orleans team that does not – at home, that does not have Zion and probably won't be playing for anything at that point. So I'll give them that W. Then they play
– You give the Grizzlies that W too?
Tonight, I'm a little – they're still playing for something now, so I'm a little less given the Pelicans' curse, but I'm going to give New Orleans that W. That gets them to 36 wins. And then they also play Utah and Phoenix, I think.
Right.
Let's just say they don't lose those. But even if they do, I mean, do win one of those, that gets them to 37. The Grizzlies have 34 wins now. If they get one tonight, that's 35. They got two games against Sacramento. Like,
as fragile as the Grizzlies have been the last few weeks, you got to assume they'll go at least 500 on the homestand, right? And if they go 500 on the homestand, then, you know, it would take an extreme week for one of those two teams,
for there
to be more than a one-game gap. And to the point, they don't have to be tied going into that game against Golden State.
It doesn't matter who's ahead.
If the Grizzlies have a one-game lead, the winner of that game will get the 8th seed. If New Orleans has a one-game lead, the winner of that game will get the 8th seed. Yeah.
And so and you may very well get to a point where the second game against the Kings, you already realize it's going to be meaningless in terms of...
That's possible, yeah.
And in which case you then rest people because you're going to be getting on a plane flying out to Golden State. You may very well rest your team if that second game against Sacramento. Although it's Saturday when Golden State will be playing New Orleans, so you've got to sort of give them a W there. But let's say you're tied going into that last Saturday.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, you'll know what the situation is. So you'll know whether that game matters or not. But to the point, there's a chance that Because you have this cushion around that Golden State game in the end of the season, there's a chance it'll be determined by that.
And the amazing thing is, if you finish nine, it's pretty damn clear you're going to be playing San Antonio. Like, a lot of this is
in
firmed
Memphis.
Up.
Yeah, I don't. The Spurs have been bad, and their schedule remains brutal, and there's a chance.
I guess it's a chance the Kings could catch them. The Pelicans.
I think there's a better chance the Kings, even though the Kings lost to San Antonio on Friday without De'Aaron Fox, and that may have prevented them from doing this. But to me, they still have a chance to catch San Antonio, which means the Grizzlies' games against the Kings may be meaningful for the Kings. So there are a lot of balls up in the air in both directions as we go into this final week.
Right now, the if you look at from that perspective, San Antonio is a game and a half. They're 2.5 game two and a half up on Sacramento.
Yeah, it would take.
And I don't know who has the tiebreaker.
It would take one winning out and one collapsing, but the schedules are such that
San Antonio.
My point is that the Spurs could lose out.
Right.
And if the Spurs literally lose out,
then
they can get caught.
Then they can get caught by either New Orleans, although New Orleans is without Zion, or possibly by Sacramento. So that sets up the week. Big week, obviously, for the Grizzlies. And of course it makes a huge difference. Do we know, by the way, when the play-in game? So they do this next Sunday. They play the Warriors. So by this time next week, we'll know exactly what's in store. Are they playing first playing game on Tuesday?
That is my assumption, but I don't know that for certain.
And then they'd probably play the next play-in game on Thursday, and then they start the playoffs that weekend?
That is my assumption, but I don't know that for sure.
Right. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be fun. Okay, Grizzlies won the second game, the third game of their road trip, beating Toronto in Florida, a diminished Toronto team. And started Jaren Jackson in the process. You wrote about that in today's piece. What did you make about that decision?
Oh, I was agnostic about it. I'm fine with them doing that. I would have been fine with them not doing that. To me, it begs the question of, is he going to play back-to-backs now? And I don't think we know the answer to that. We know he is playing tonight,
right?
Which is a break from what has been a pattern, but it may be that pattern was an illusion.
They got Dallas tomorrow. The pattern had been front end of back-to-backs,
yeah,
sit it out.
But that pattern may have been an illusion. We may have been
looking for a pattern, which is not based on anything.
And so we'll find out tomorrow night whether he's going to play back-to-backs now. But I do wonder if it's possible that they moved him to the starting lineup based on we're comfortable playing back-to-backs now. It's also possible they did that based on we feel like he's turned enough of a corner in his play. I mean, when I wrote about it on Friday, I wrote about how the end of that Pistons game to me felt like a precursor, where they finished with him and they finished with him with the same lineup they then started with on Saturday against Toronto. So I was not surprised that they made that move. What I wrote about today is that lineup, that's not some new lineup we've never seen before. It had never played together this season until the last 3 minutes against Detroit, but it was the second most used lineup for the team last season.
This is Ja, Dillon, Kyle, Jonas, and Jaren.
Yeah,
was the second most used lineup last season and was not good.
It was bad. It was, and so the most used lineup last season was that group, but with Jay Crowder instead of Kyle Anderson, and that lineup was sort of plus 11 per 100 possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea when they made the trade was Winslow, like, to replace Crowder, right?
Right.
And that never happened, so Kyle Anderson stepped in. And the lineup with Kyle Anderson was -6 per 100 possessions. It couldn't score at all. Like, the offense was through the basement, basically. It just couldn't score. And so, like, that's a lineup last season that did not work and that could not score. And this season, Kyle Anderson's played mostly at the 4, but when they have played him at the 3, which they did some earlier in the season, they also couldn't score. So that's 2 years in a row of, like, when you play out Kyle Anderson at the 3, you can't score. So why would you expect it to be different? I think you can.
We'll get to why you can think it be different before. Is one of the things you at least raised, I don't think you would answer it as necessarily in the affirmative, but one of the questions you raised in the column was whether Kyle Anderson's improvement has partly been that he's played at the 4 as opposed to the 3.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's
this year more time.
I think he's been put in an opportune spot because I do think he's better at the 4 broadly speaking now. Like in a vacuum, I think Kyle Anderson is more of a 4 than a 3. I don't think he would agree with me, but I think that's true. I think the key is twofold. One, you need shooting in your lineup wherever you get it from, and I think this season, when they've been bad with him at the 3, it's been with Dillon Brooks at the 2, who's a shaky shooter, Brandon Clark at the 4, who's not a shooter at all, and then, you know, whoever at center. When they've been good earlier in the season, it was when Grayson Allen was on the floor, and then Saturday was with Jaren Jackson, right? So I think it's important if you're going to play Kyle at the 3 to have a true floor spacer next to him at one of those two spots. But the other thing is that Kyle Anderson's a different player now. And sort of the point I made is that I think in some ways it'd be natural to say, well, how did this lineup do last season? it might be more instructive to look at the Jay Crowder lineup last season, because now Kyle Anderson is playing almost like the better Jay Crowder, more than he's playing like last year's Kyle Anderson.
He didn't put up shots at the rate, threes at the rate that Jay Crowder
No, but it's probably closer to that than the old Kyle Anderson.
Yeah. It's interesting.
And he's shooting a better percentage than Crowder.
If that was a bad lineup last year, and if we need you need shooting on the floor at some point, it is interesting to think that
that's Jaren.
Yeah, no, but it's interesting. But you with that lineup, you had Jaren on it last year. So literally, the only difference is Kyle being a better and more prolific shooter now than that. It's interesting to think that that might be itself enough of an improvement to make this lineup good as opposed to bad.
That's what they envisioned when they traded for Justice Winslow, though, right?
Right.
Like they didn't envision Justice Winslow as like Ray Allen. They envisioned Justice Winslow as the best version of what he'd been in Miami, which was a guy who in one season shot 38% from three and took like five a game, right? And then could defend and handle the ball.
It's an interesting argument. So the argument, just so people be clear, is that the starting lineup with Ja, Dylan, Jonas, Jaren, and we all imagined Justice Winslow in that other role. Winslow playing a defense, ball handling, creative, and taking enough shooting to keep people honest kind of a role, which is exactly what Kyle Anderson, not exactly, but a version of what Kyle Anderson has become.
It's taken them more than a year since they made the Winslow trade to finally get to the kind of starting lineup they envisioned all
with
along.
With Justice Winslow.
Except now it's with Kyle Anderson instead of Justice
Winslow. Someone that
Winslow.
They had all along.
Yeah.
Okay, now partly this happened. Grayson Allen was out.
And that, to me, that's the big question. Is this what they would have done if Grayson Allen had not gotten hurt? Or would they have kept Grayson Allen in and taken the path of least resistance? I don't know the answer to that.
And that would have been moving Kyle to the second unit.
That would have just been a simple change of Jaren for Kyle. And the point I've made, I've written about this sort of all season, is that we think about like the positions, but to me it's more of a skill set thing. And all season long they've had, you know, if you have Ja Morant and Jonas Valanciunas at point guard and center – and those two guys are all about pressuring the rim in different ways. Like they're about offense going to the rim. What they've done all season is they've surrounded that sort of fulcrum with a ball handler and two shooters. And we're calling Dylan Brooks a shooter because he's certainly willing.
Right.
And so all season it's been like Dylan and Grayson are the shooters when Kyle's the ball handler, right? And so what they've done is they have preserved that dynamic. They just shifted the roles. And so essentially Jaren Jackson has taken on the Grayson Allen role.
Now, Jaren is not a maker at this point. He still is. Was he 3 of 10?
Yeah,
he
3 of 10.
He took a bunch, though. 10's good.
And a couple of those were like heaves against the end of the shot clock, right? I think you look at the two games before that, he shot okay. I think that's coming around. I mean, I think he's proven enough that I'm not, you know.
You're not necessarily.
Keep firing away is what I would say about
you're
Jaren
not necessarily
Jr.
from the camp of. Well, they finally started Jaren. All things are fixed. Look what happens when you start Jaren. See, dummies?
Well, I mean, I think if you look, it's one game. But if you look at that Toronto game, the starting lineup with Jaren was good. The previous starting lineup with Desmond Bane instead of Jaren, that they played that lineup for a lot in that game. It was even better, right? At some point, they were going to do this, whether it was going to do it in season or they're going to wait till the fall, whatever. Jaren's going to be a starter on the team. I'm interested to see if it works with Kyle at the three. I mean, that's when Drew and I did our thing on Jaren's return, and we went through like the different questions, and we wondered about what the starting lineup would be ultimately when Jaren did move in. We both said this is what they should do. I didn't think it's what they would do, but we both said it's what they should do. And so I'm glad to see it now and get like four or five or six games and take a look at it. But I don't think what happened to me, the biggest difference between the Detroit game and the Toronto game was not Jaren started. The biggest difference was the Detroit game was the second night of a back-to-back and the Toronto game wasn't.
Right.
That was the biggest difference between those two games.
Right. They were clearly exhausted in that second game against Detroit. Desmond Bane's been really good lately.
Yeah, I mean, he had the one game in there where he basically did nothing. And so I don't know the consistency's there, but...
And what do you think about Grayson?
I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, I sort of sound like a broken record on some of this stuff, but like my opinions haven't really changed that much. If I'm projecting out going forward, which is I think what they have to do, I value Melton and Bane more than I value Allen.
Right. I guess just independently looking at him, there was a stretch of the season where he looked like a lethal knockdown shooter. And is that because shooting comes and goes, or is that between injuries, lineups, he just hasn't been?
I think 3-point shooting tends to have more variance than, say, the quality of your defense or your rebounding or other aspects of the game, right? I think other aspects of the game are more reliable than 3-point shooting. So I think the variance is sort of natural with 3-point shooting. I think, you know, it's not a Justice Winslow level situation, but Allen seems like he gets hurt an awful lot, right? I mean, I think there's a little bit of a growing pattern there. And I think he is not terrible defensively. He has improved to like respectable, but he's not a plus defender. And I don't think he's a plus ball handler or playmaker. I don't think he's plus anything other than 3-point shooting. And so to me, because his game is so dependent on that and you're subject to that variance, I just, you know, I think Melton and Bane, and I think Allen is better than Bane this season. But I think if you're projecting going forward, you look at a guy in Bane who's 3 years younger, who is bigger and stronger physically. Like, if I'm betting on my future, like, I'm betting way more on Desmond Bane than I am on Grayson Allen.
Do you assume that they've shut Justice Winslow down for the rest of the year? And do you assume that they've made their decision on what they're going to do with Justice Winslow?
It is interesting that, like, Justice Winslow is just gone.
Now Conchar plays. Yeah.
I mean, you went from trying to play him as a lead ball handler to not playing him at all. Like, you have the option of giving him the John Conchar minutes.
He played
right?
5 minutes. He could play five minutes in the John Conchar role.
Right? Yeah, I don't think any of us. I know there's some people are ready to, like, you know, burn the witch with Justice Winslow, but like, I wouldn't object to him playing 5 to 10 minutes a game on the wing. I mean, what are we doing
right
here? So I think that's odd that they went did such a 180 on trying to force the issue with him. In what is not an optimal role, or doesn't seem to be, to just not want to play him at all.
Maybe some of it is some weird thing about being respectful to him, you know,
it
somehow. You know, like, we're going to shut you down is better than we're going to give you 5 minutes in the, you know, an incredible reserve role.
I suspect, and I don't know the answer to any of this, I suspect that they have not concluded we are done with Justice Winslow. I think it is... I would guess it's more likely than not that they'll have him back next season.
By picking up the option or by negotiating a cheaper deal?
It could be either way, but the thing about negotiating a cheaper deal, if you do that, that means multi-years. He's not negotiating like a cheaper deal for 1 year, right? Unless he has no other options, and you just say, we're not picking it up, and then you can come here for $5 million or like no one will sign you, but I don't think we're at that spot with him. And so... to me, I think they can talk themselves into, and they could be right, to say, we still believe in the idea of Justice Winslow. Like,
if he wasn't himself, we're going to give him a summer to become himself.
Give him a whole offseason to, like, work on his game instead of working on his health.
Right.
And, like, he'll come back and he'll be the player we always envisioned. I think that's possible and even defensible, even if it's not my position necessarily. But the thing is, I think whenever it comes to the point that they officially have to make that decision, they will bring more information to that decision than we have now or that we will ever have. And by that, I mean they'll have a better sense of what could we do if we don't bring him back? What could we do in free agency if we don't bring him back?
I see.
What could we do in trade if we don't bring him back? I don't think they're at the point where they've decided we're bringing him back no matter what and we won't explore what the other options could be. I mean, I think they'll game plan out like the different roads, right?
And then finally, I don't know if you looked enough at their schedules. Do you assume it will be the Lakers in 7? In other words, if the Grizzlies can get to 8, they will either be playing Dallas doesn't seem likely, but it could still be Dallas, Portland, or the Lakers.
I think it'll be the Lakers. I mean, it could go, you know, the other way, but I don't remember it anymore, but I didn't go through all the games and map it out. I do think it'll be the Lakers.
You could very well have the Lakers. Lakers right now are in the play-in game in the West, and Boston is in the playoff play-in game in the East.
And the whole league is going to collapse.
the whole league is going to collapse. Exactly right.
And Boston's really shaky right now.
That was brutal yesterday.
I don't know if I buy the Lakers and LeBron are one thing. I don't know if I buy into the idea that, like, the NBA ratings and general fan interest is heavily dependent on the Celtics right now. Like, I know they're a glamour franchise historically, but, like, I don't think Jason Tatum is not LeBron James.
Right, no.
And Boston, market-wise, is not Los Angeles. And so I don't, like, whatever.
I mean, they're a brand.
They're
so
a brand, but is better
than not. But we have the Knicks are a brand, too. The Knicks are in the playoffs now.
I would think the Knicks and the Sixers and the Nets are all higher wattage right now than the Celtics are.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. We will talk to you again tomorrow. That's Chris Harrington. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Talkett for 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, I'm Brian. As an aspiring baker, I've got a lot of secret ingredients. But my best one yet? Metro by T-Mobile. Metro gave me and the family high-speed data for only $25 a line for 4 lines and covered the switching fees. Plus, they threw in 4 free Galaxy phones just for switching. Now we can post pictures of my latest bakes and get out the word so the whole town knows I'm whipping up something sweet. How's that for stretching some serious dough?
You work hard for your money. With Metro by T-Mobile, it goes further. This tax season, there's 0 fees to switch. Right now, enjoy Metro's lowest price. Just $25 a line for 4 lines with taxes and fees included. Plus 4 free Samsung Galaxy phones when you switch. Now that's the best deal in wireless.
I'm Brian, and that's how I rule my day with Metro by T-Mobile.
All lines lose promo rate if any deactivates. Sales tax and regulatory fees included in price. 0 fee on select phones. Limit 1 free phone per line with port. Excludes sales tax. Limited time offer. Additional terms apply. See Metro by T-Mobile.com.
For the ones standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor. And for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Committed to helping keep your facilities safe. And your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's a lot of streaming services out there, each filled with reality TV, comedy, drama, and of course, superheroes. But there's one dedicated entirely to nonfiction TV and documentary films, and that's CuriosityStream. History, science, nature, we've got it. Space, dinosaurs, big cats, we've got that too. And pretty much anything else you want to explore. Go ahead, add some smart TV to your smart TV with CuriosityStream. Go to CuriosityStream.com to sign up and start streaming today.
Brought to you by Capital One Shopping. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Capital One Shopping, what's in your wallet? Savings and available coupons vary.
Here's the dirt on dust. It may seem fine, but it's actually made of dead skin cells and dust mite droppings. That's where Swiffer Heavy Duty Dusters come in. With thousands of specially coated fibers to trap and lock dust in one swipe. Dust can't hide on ceiling fans and bookshelves anymore. When you're done, just remove the disposable cloth and voila! That dust is gone for good. Now that you know the dirt, say goodbye to the dust. Swiffer Heavy Duty Dusters. Stop cleaning. Start Swiffering.
Think of all the ways you can listen to 92.9 FM ESPN, 92.9 FM on HD Digital, Blowtorch 680 AM, and all smart speakers by saying, play 92.9 ESPN.
92.9 ESPN from Odyssey.
Damn, we're everywhere. And serve as Memphis's podcast leader at 92.9ESPN.com. It's no wonder we're Memphis's biggest sports place with a legacy of Mid-South sports. Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM. ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Last week, I reached into my closet for the first time in more than a year, and I pulled out a sport coat. I did, and I wore it. I pulled out a sports coat, and I wore it.
And it fit?
It fit unbelievably well.
Good for
it you. It is a beautiful sport coat. Absolutely gorgeous sport coat. But here's the thing. We are perking alive. And listen, Oak Hall is there for you. Right now, I was just talking to Paul from Oak Hall. Wedding registries have doubled. You know, you register for your wedding, Griff. Wedding registries have doubled. Why? Because people are like, they can't wait to get out, right, and get married, among other things, that have been put on hold. Wedding registries have doubled. I actually wore this sport coat because I was going to a memorial service. Like, people are doing memorial services in person again. So, I've told you that O'Call is the place to go for all your summer stuff, your knits, your polos, your sports shirts, your Peter Millar, your Johnny O, all of that. But you're going to have to start wearing a sport coat again soon. You know, you're going to want to start. You're going to go to church again soon. You're going to wear sport coats. You're going to weddings. You're going to memorial service. You're going to go to church. You're going to go. So if you haven't pulled your sport coat out for a long time, your closet, go ahead and spruce yourself up and make sure you're looking good. We are coming alive, and O'Call is there for you. Let's play Believe It or Not.
Now it's time for Believe It.
Believe it. I don't even know if I believe.
Now I'm a believer.
Or not. Believe It or Not. On the Jeff Calkins Show.
Medina Spirit, or is it Medina? Medina.
Medina, I believe.
Medina Spirit, a victim of cancel culture.
Believe it or not.
I mean, Jeff, we can't rule it out.
You cannot rule it out.
At a certain point, like, I need to at least hear the case before. I can't just blanketly say, no, I do not believe that. I'd like to at least hear the case.
Is Baffert, Bob Baffert, of course, is the trainer. The horse was... failed its post-race drug test.
Yes.
And has been stripped of its Kentucky Derby win.
Pending the second test.
And Bob Baffert is saying it's cancel culture?
Churchill Downs came out with that statement. That was pretty harsh. And I think they had to just, you know, it's, you know, with all the noise going out, you know, we live in a different world now. This America is different. And it was like a cancel culture kind of a thing. So they're reviewing it. I haven't been told anything. We're prepared to run.
The thing that I love about this is
the horse is being canceled, ladies and gentlemen. Horse is being canceled. Yep.
Technically, well, I think this is absolutely absurd. The one thing I do love about Bob Baffert right now is he is 100% adhering to best defense is a good offense. He's even talking about, you know, other horses peeing in Medina Spirit's stall, and maybe their test had been sampled. We don't know who was carrying the samples to the lab. That could have been contaminated.
Over the last 40 years, Baffert's horses have failed 30 drug tests. Over the last 2 years, his horses have failed 5 drug tests. In last year's Kentucky Oaks, a race for 3-year-old fillies, that's the one on the day before
that's
the Derby,
Friday,
right?
Yes.
A Baffert horse failed a drug test for betamethasone, which is the same drug that is at present here.
So, I mean, we can't rule out the conspiracy, though. They're just finding the Baffert horses and just loading them up.
He's won 7 Kentucky Derby races. He's the Lance Armstrong of cheaters, man. He's of horse racing. Honestly, isn't it incredible? Like, and this is bad for horse racing because... he is the best in the world. He's easily the best in the world.
I do think there's very much a Lance Armstrong parallel because in the end, it wasn't necessarily what Lance Armstrong was doing because it wasn't as if he was, you know, going above and beyond what everyone else was doing. It was just that he was such an absolute prick about it that everyone else was just like, eventually you got to get yours. Like he was just so smug and treated other people terribly. Like, eventually, it feels like that there's an element of that here. Like, where it's not necessarily that, you know, Baffert is going above and beyond what other trainers are doing. It's just that I think everyone's just kind of sick of it. When everyone's acting like he has some kind of secret formula, it's like, well, yeah, he does. Like, he clearly is going above what the legal limit is.
All right, so here's my question. Mandaloon is going to be the winner.
Yes.
If I bet on Mandaloon, why don't I get to cash my ticket?
Well, I guess because they've already paid out the other winners. Like, how are they going to get... are they going to get Medina Spirit money back? Like, I don't...
Well, this is from the Washington Post. Asked Sunday about the possibility Mandaloon bettors might profit from their wagers, an official with Churchill Downs confirmed Kentucky Horse Racing Commission regulations, which state that payment of tickets is made on the basis of the order of finish as declared official by the steward or judges.
Yeah.
And it was declared official.
Correct.
By the stewards or judges.
Was it 2 years ago where there was interference it was never declared official right when the race happened.
And so that any change of order, a finish, or awarding of purse money would not affect payouts to gamblers. Exactly right. It was in maximum security, appeared to win that race in 2019, but was disqualified for interference. That was before the race results were official. That made Country House the winner, and that was done, and people ripped up their tickets and whatever else. And there you go.
The good news is I feel like we're only like one or two excuses away from Baffert going full coach in that, listen, you know, I can't be with him at all times. Like, you know, what the horse does on his own time. Like, I can't be responsible for this. You know what I mean?
Exactly right. Yes, exactly right. Okay. The New Orleans Saints tried to trade up for Mac Jones.
Believe it or not.
I believe it, Jeff, and you know why? Because they told me we did. This is one of my favorite post-draft seasons. This is what we were going to do season. We saw the Vikings were going to try and maybe make a move up to go get Fields. We saw the Saints. We're going to go get Mac Jones. We get to hear about every team that wanted to do something. They didn't actually do it. This is very similar
to... Where were they, though? Let's just think about this. Where were the
They were like 28, right?
So 15 is when the Patriots picked Mac Jones.
Correct.
Okay? 15 is when they picked Matt Jones. Who did the Saints end up with? The Saints ended up with...
They ended up with the defensive kid. I believe they took the kid from Houston, right?
Oh, they took Peyton Turner. He was at 28. Yeah. So the Jets had to pay mightily to get up ahead of 15 because the Jets traded up to 14 and for Vera Tucker.
Right.
Right? And they had to pay heavily for that. Was that with your Giants?
No. Giants traded with the Bears.
That's right. So
Minnesota traded back. Minnesota traded with the Jets at 14.
I'll tell you, though, I don't like it. Because if you believe it.
Sure.
And sure, I believe it. Like, why wouldn't the Saints want Mac Jones, right?
Right.
He looks like Drew Brees.
Yeah.
So the problem is that if I believe it, that means another quarterback coach who has good taste in quarterbacks likes Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Does that scare me? Does that scare me? I don't think it's good news for me.
I mean, in fairness, the same coach, if you want the real spin zone, the same coach is apparently the only human being on the planet that thinks Taysom Hill can play quarterback. So you got that working for
you. And played him above Jameis Winston.
Yes.
No, you make a good point there. Bill Gates is a cheating louse.
Believe it or not.
I think we have to believe it, right?
Well, there was some reporting over the weekend, and it doesn't say that exactly. But here's what it said.
Is this the one that said he had a deal worked out with Melinda that he could once a year go take a vacation with the
that's
ex?
That's different. No.
Okay.
No, this is a different one. This is different reporting. The split between Bill and Melinda Gates, announced last week, has been in the works for a long time. Ms. Gates consulted with divorce lawyers roughly 2 years before she filed for divorce from Mr. Gates. You can tell it's a New York Times story, by the way.
Yes, Mr. and Mrs.
Saying their marriage was irretrievably broken. The 56-year-old philanthropist had been working with lawyers at several firms since at least 2019 to unwind the marriage of more than 25 years. The couple hasn't said what prompted the split. One source of concern for Ms. Gates was her husband's dealings with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, according to the People and a former employee of their charity. Ms. Gates' concerns about the relationship dated as far back as 2013, the former employee said. The couple had negotiated the divorce through the pandemic. They have three children. The youngest one's about to go off to college. According to the documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, Ms. Gates and her advisors held a number of calls in October 2019 when the New York Times reported that Mr. Gates had met with Mr. Epstein on numerous occasions. Mr. Gates once stayed late into the night at Mr. Epstein's Manhattan townhouse, the Times reported. So there you go. Ms. Gates, a global advocate for women and girls, had told her husband she was uncomfortable with Mr. Epstein after the couple met him together in 2013. So there you go. J- Jeffrey Epstein. It's Bill Gates' relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, convicted sex offender, that may be the end here.
Yeah, and having, from what we know about Epstein, it seems like Epstein's a big blackmail guy, or was a big blackmail guy, and maybe Bill couldn't get away from that circle because...
You don't think that. He may just be, Bill may have just been dipping into the youngsters that Jeffrey Epstein made available.
Yeah, so you're telling me
through
that...
Through his slimy, you turns know, out whatever.
Rich guy might have enjoyed women that weren't his wife.
All right, next one. Mm-hmm. Buffalo has the answer. Buffalo, once again, visionary Buffalo, has shown the way in terms of how to get people to get vaccines.
Believe it or not.
Sure. I guess I'll believe this, right?
What do you think Buffalo offered in order to get people...
Wings?
To have a... No, wings, but it goes with wings.
Beer?
Beer.
Yeah.
Beer. Like many parts of the country, Erie County has kind of gotten stuck in a rut with vaccinations. Appointments at many Buffalo area clinics were lagging until the offer of free beer. Give people a beer, they tend to show up, said Jeff Ware, owner of Resurgence Brewery Company in Buffalo. Over the weekend, there was a line out the door to get vaccinated next to his towering metal fermentation tanks. It was the first vaccine for beer pop-up in the county's aptly named Shot and Chaser program.
Ah.
The idea here is you get the shot, and you get a free beer.
Yeah.
That's the whole
chaser,
deal.
Chaser, if you will.
We decided it just made sense to go where the people are. We got 10 times more people to get vaccinated with their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine in just a few hours at a brewery than we would have if we'd been sitting in one of our full-time clinics for 12 hours.
More, take that for data.
More Buffalo area breweries will offer the promotion soon. Ware said the beer scene has plenty of reasons to support the county's vaccination efforts. We're anxious to get back to banquets and parties and a full tap room in a very safe manner as we can. But I think the light is at the end of the tunnel. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. This is something Memphis could do.
Yeah.
We've got lots. But here's the thing. Aren't the people who go to, like, if you're talking about the breweries, the Memphis, you know, the Memphis-made type breweries, the High Cotton, the whatever.
Medelson.
Pick your favorite local beer company.
Wiseacre.
Aren't the people who go to those tend to be hipsters?
Yeah.
And don't hipsters tend to be vaccinated?
Yes.
So I don't think it's actually... The people who drink those beer, they're not the blue-collar beer drinkers. They're not the people getting a six-pack of Budweiser at home, right?
Right.
So I do believe you could vaccinate people that way, but I don't think you'd get... Where could we vaccinate people? Or just like everybody goes... You know, like for something for free, at a McDonald's, right? Like there, if you vaccinated a free Big Mac at a McDonald's, or a free, how about a Kentucky Fried Chicken off or whatever, or a Taco Bell?
Yeah, I think.
How about a Taco Bell?
My bigger deal is I'm all for incentivizing people, but I don't really think like, oh, give them free beer, give them a car, whatever. Like, I don't think that's the incentive because notice that statement that you read from the Erie County. Like, mm-hmm. The faster we can get back to weddings, the congregating and whatnot.
Well, what's your idea?
Like,
what's
my deal
incentive?
Is, like, I wish we could... It's like, the messaging's confusing. It's like, do we want to get back to normal? By the way, every time you're in public, make sure you have...
Yeah, you know, but... I think
people want to get back to normal. I think that's the incentive.
No, I don't think... But I don't think people... I don't honestly think that people think if I get a vaccine, I'm still not getting back to normal. People are getting back to normal whether they have a vaccine or not. Like, everyone's doing whatever the hell they want to do, whether they have a vaccine or not. And so the question is what can get those people who are already acting as if life is as normal to have a vaccine? And it's to literally, if you walk up somewhere and there's the vaccine, you don't have to go. It's just there, boom,
in
your arm.
I liked the Tiger Lane idea on Friday Night Stripes. Like, I thought that was great. Hey, it's right here.
It was interesting, though. No one was doing it.
I know, like.
I was at the Tiger Lane. I mean, I stopped by the place where they were doing free vaccinations at Tiger Lane, and no one was particularly offering it. Here's a believe it or not. You were in tears of happiness for your man Rory winning a golf tournament.
Believe it or not.
I'm afraid to say he's back. I'm afraid it. But we've got a new golf coach. We got Pete Cowan. We're getting back to working the ball both ways. Looking pretty good. Didn't play at all. Didn't really particularly like play well this weekend. Just was better than everyone else. Got the putter going a little bit. We got Kiowa. We got a PGA Championship. I'm afraid to say yes because I have to go with I do not believe this because I've been here before and it really sucks getting hurt.
Well, and the other story there was Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
Thought he'd missed the cut, flew home, and then...
At 2:45, found out he made the cut.
Found out he made the cut, and would everyone have come back? He did come back, and that might, God bless him. Like it was another private plane flight in order to get back.
Yeah, most of them have a deal with either like NetJets or.
Oh, that's what it was. He has a NetJets deal, but you get like, so many.
You get so many flights.
You're burning one of your flights. He won $245,000 though.
Oh, yeah, he ended up paying for it. Like, I think most would have come back. Yes.
You thought Elon Musk was sensational on Saturday Night Live.
Believe it or not.
You didn't watch it. That's why I'm not going to ask you.
Thank you.
You have not seen him. Do you ever watch Saturday Night Live?
Like Dave Chappelle, when he hosted, I watched that. I liked that.
I watch it like a lot of things. I watch a lot of things now. I watch snippets of it
clips
later.
And whatnot.
Clips later, which is sad. But
I don't particularly love this cast, but I'm also not the person that's like, Saturday Night Live's not funny anymore.
No,
like,
here's the truth. Not as good since Donald Trump left.
Well, yeah, because they're just like all comedy.
Like now, what are they laughing about?
Yeah, I mean,
like he was whatever you thought of Donald Trump, he was tremendous for comedy.
Tremendous for ratings in general. Like if you think about it, this was always my curiosity of how would we when he inevitably left office. It's like. Everything is Trump, 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 Trump. It's like, okay, so you have the defenders on one side, the antagonists on the other. Like now it's like once he's left office, it's like now what?
Oh, no, it's well, the nice thing is in terms of life.
Oh, for
real
sure.
Real life, it's better that we aren't talking about the president tweeted at 7 a.m.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about what the hell's going on anywhere. I just like we can go back to normal.
Yes.
But in terms of entertainment. I think it really, for those folks who make their living poking fun at the news or whatever else, I think it's made it a lot harder. So anyway, so they had Elon Musk on, and you know what he looked like? I went back and watched a bunch of the clips.
Yeah.
He was nervous.
Yeah.
He was awkward. And he looked like if a billionaire, like, bought a place, let's say they had an auction for the Boys and Girls Club. Whoever gives the most money can come and serve in, you know, whatever. Truth of the matter is we occasionally have people who do that on our radio show, right?
Yep.
And we'll talk to him for 2 minutes.
Sure.
He was less comfortable than some of those people who we've had on our radio show. So it was just weird. Like, it was like, and it made you realize that acting is hard.
Oh, yeah.
Even the level of, because he's
performing.
Performing is hard. Because he looked like he was reading lines off of his... that he was supposed to have memorized, as opposed to saying things that were coming naturally to him, which is what actors do.
Correct.
So it was kind of dumb that they had Elon Musk on. Evidently, ratings were ticked up a little bit, had ticked up a little bit, because people thought it was either going to be like
either a train wreck,
either
like they wanted
to be a train wreck,
or he's
stunningly good, or something, or he makes some big revelation. None of that. He was just kind of awkward, and so it was fine and whatever. It was mildly amusing in spots. But it's supposed to be better than that. Anyway, we got to take a break. Come back with the one story we're waiting for. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Switching your car insurance to GEICO is both easy and could save you hundreds. It's the best of both worlds. Like a butcher with a sense of humor. A co-meat Ian.
Well, I'd tell you a joke, but I'd probably butcher it. The stakes are too high.
GEICO. Easy and savings. The best of both worlds.
The NBA season is rolling along, games every single day. Baseball season has been super fun so far. The PGA Tour returning to Memphis, it's just around the corner. If you're the type of person who likes to enjoy sports while sipping a drink, this is Gary Parrish reminding you that my drink of choice is New Amsterdam Vodka, a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, it's so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. That's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. It makes no sense to spend extra money on any other brand. New Amsterdam Vodka is the best value you can find when you're looking for a quality vodka to enjoy in these warm months. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon, lemon, coconut, orange, peach, pineapple. The list is long. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name when you're in a bar, restaurant, or liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Score a major payday this May with BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the King of Sportsbooks because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using code WRIGHT100, W-R-I-G-H-T, and you can win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 money line wager on either the Grizzlies or the Pelicans, and if either team hits a three, you win regardless of your bet's outcome. Whether you're raising the stakes on the basketball or the hockey playoffs, or you're just wagering on your favorite baseball team, BetMGM is always ready for action. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code WRIGHT100, WRIGHT100, to win $100 when you bet $1 on either the Grizzlies or the Pelicans and either team hits a three. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem with gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm John Meacham. Welcome to Fate of Fact, Season 1. This series is about how and why fact became a casualty of war in the United States. Please listen and follow Fate of Fact, a presentation of Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio. Available now for free on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
All right, is that a Q2 or a Q3 expense?
Dwayne's CPA went MIA. W-9. To keep his books and his sanity, he needs to find a replacement ASAP.
Hey, Johnny, have you ever heard of a fungible good?
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's get to the one story you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. At long last, it's Jeff's one story you've been waiting for. Presented by Homer Skelton Chrysler Dodge Jeep. Check out HomerSkeltonCDJ.com. A bunch of normal guys in the car business, changing lives four tires at a time.
Hey, so before I get to it, is this finally going to be Memphis? Is finally Grizzlies going to take care of the Pelicans? Like, if they can't do it tonight.
If not now, when?
If not now, when? Right. If not now, us who?
Yes.
Right?
This is as good of an opportunity as you're going to get.
I mean, Lordy.
They're on the second night of a back-to-back. You're returning home.
They don't got Zion or Brandon Ingram.
Now, I will say, the Grizzlies on the first game returning home after a long string, they've not been great.
This was that Portland loss.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. I wrote a story over the weekend, and honestly, there's some stories that come along. I almost found this one hard to believe. And if you haven't read it, it's not even subscribers only. Anyone can read it. I tweeted it out from various places. So this woman, Susie Espinoza, okay, she's 37. She's got three kids. A year ago, she had COVID. And she's pregnant, 26 weeks pregnant. And she's, like, got it badly. She's tested positive. Yep. She's weak. She's exhausted. She finally tells her partner, and he works installing swimming pools. Like,
yep.
They have three young kids. One's about to turn two, and one's 11 and 10 or something like that. So she goes to Methodist Le Bonheur, Germantown. And she goes there because she knows a cousin who works there, and all she's been hearing about people is people dying alone in hospitals. This was last May, okay? So she checks in, so they goes to the emergency room, and she tells below her, like, she doesn't want people to hear, I have COVID. And they wheel her down a hallway, and that's the last thing she remembers. Again, 26 weeks pregnant. The next 4 days, she doesn't remember, but she was not yet intubated. But she was then intubated 4 days later. She was put into a medically induced coma for 8 weeks. And by the time she emerged from the coma, she had given birth to her fourth child, Brandon, by C-section. She was touch and go for days. And then they finally said, because they're trying to get the baby to 36 weeks. And finally they had said at 32 weeks, they said, we can't, everyone's not going to stay alive.
Right.
And we can't treat, you know. And so baby was born by C-section, baby Brandon. He went immediately to the NICU. She goes back. And yesterday, mom, kid, celebrated Mother's Day at home. And the real heroes in this were all the folks at Methodist,
yeah,
who took care of them. And I happened to talk to one, but there were others certainly who were deeply involved. But Hannon McNamee is the nurse who was mostly in charge of her. And she is late 30s as well. She has three kids as well. And she was just struck by standing there the first night. She should be home having a shower and And instead, here she is unconscious as her baby grows inside her. So she gave her a manicure, a pedicure. She combed her hair. She talked to her. She looked up on social media what she likes to be called, which was Susie. So when she talked to her, she could. And the impact that it had on her and everybody at that hospital in the end, because it turned out to be a story of incredible hope that this baby was born, reunited with the mother, and yesterday they had a Mother's Day at home. It reminded me, as we were starting to emerge, of what everyone has been through this past year.
Yeah.
And it was a story of, it was a celebration, a story of joy and endurance and what we can get through. Just unbelievable. I couldn't believe it when I was told the story. You can read it at the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Norton Hurd will join them at 11:25 to discuss the Iverson Classic. Jason Fitz also joins them today. Jason Munns will join us on Giannotto, and Jeffrey will get his thoughts from the Iverson Classic as he was there. Jeff will join GP at 5 o'clock tonight. Pregame with Jessica Benson at 6:30. Tip-off against the Pelicans at 7 o'clock tonight.
Beat the Pels. What do you do to Pelicans?
Pummel the Pels? I don't know.
Pummel the Pels? Kill the Pels?
Yeah. Now we're turning dark.
We're not going to oil slick the Pels. That would be...
Too soon.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a horrible image. Mm-hmm. Horrible image.
Uh-huh.
Just emerge with a victory over the Pels. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about it all. For now, our work is done.
Memphis' flagship home of the Grizzlies and Tigers talk. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And Odyssey Station.
The Landers Auto Group is growing. We're hosting a job fair Tuesday, May 11th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Landers Center. We're hiring for all positions. That's right. We need sales consultants, management, accounting, service techs, receptionists, operations, call center representatives, and much more. Recruiters from all 7 of our stores will be at the Landers Center for interviews. The only requirement is a valid driver's license. That's this Tuesday, May 11th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Landers Center. Learn more about the automotive business and the benefits of working at the fastest-growing dealership group in the Mid-South. We offer a top-notch full benefits package, including vacation, health, life, dental, vision, and disability insurance, 401k savings, employee discounts, and an endless opportunity to advance, all in a safe and fun work environment. Start a new career with the Landers Auto Group this Tuesday, May 11th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Landers Center. See you there.
Are you ready to get twisted? Try the new Twisted Texan Cheeseburger and Footlong Coney. The chili, hearty. The cheese, melty. The fried onion rings, crispy and crunchy. And we're putting it all on top of a beef patty or Footlong Coney. It's Twisted, y'all. For a limited time, only at Sonic.
Bugs bugging you? Call Allied Termite and Pest for a free inspection today. 754-0454. Stop a pest problem in its tracks and ask about the Allied Guarantee. Prompt, reliable. Allied Termite and Pest. Call them today. 754-0454.
Everybody is focused on COVID these days, rightfully so, but COVID doesn't end a world of sprains, strains, and fractures. Those things are still here, and they can ground you for a long time if untreated. So if you or a loved one is suffering from an injury, this is Gary Parrish telling you to skip the ER wait and go see Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine in Collierville. Her practice specializes in acute injury treatment and therapy that will get you back on your feet. So make an appointment today by calling 901-850-5756. You can do it online at LindermanSportsMedicine.com.
Small businesses are always looking to educate themselves on the best ways to have meaningful interactions with their customers. That's why Dell Technologies assembled an all-star lineup of podcasters to create this year's virtual conference to share advice and inspiration for small businesses. Dell Technologies is here to help safeguard your business with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro, providing relevant content for your business's success. Follow along with all episodes of the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference on the Odyssey app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
For more than 15 years, Opox AC and Heating Services has been keeping the Mid-South
cool in the summer, warm in the winter.
Opox is currently offering a furnace for half.